grateful. I'm just so grateful to him, for him, that his eyes are still on the throne. This morning, as we go to a word of prayer, I ask that you come in and that you pray with me on this morning, that we reach the throne of grace together, that we reach God's glory together, and that we come in and we pray right now. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us in our right mind. We thank you for the activities of our limbs, Lord. We thank you for you being God and God alone, and besides you, there is no other. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Lord, you're so worthy to be praised. Lord, I ask that you forgive us of all our sins, Lord Jesus, those sins that are known and unknown to us, Lord. Things that we've done, Lord Jesus, that have been contrary to your word, Lord Jesus. Things that we've done, Lord Jesus, that we're not proud of, Lord Jesus, in places and situations that we find ourselves in, oh God. But Lord Jesus, nonetheless, Lord, I ask that your glory, Lord Jesus, Lord, that your love and your peace, Lord Jesus, that surpasses all understanding, be with us on this dear day, oh God. Help us, oh God, to acknowledge our shortcomings, oh God, but also help us, Lord Jesus, to understand and know that it's because of you, Lord Jesus, that we live, that we move, and that we breathe, Lord, for we might as well not move at all unless we move in you, Lord. And I'm just so grateful, Lord Jesus. I just want to say I thank you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us all the sins known and unknown to us, oh God. Help us, Lord Jesus, we go forth on this day, oh God, to be who it is that you call us to be, Lord Jesus. And we just praise your name. Lord, let me give your name all the honor and all the praise, oh God. The glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone, Lord Jesus. And we want to say we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus, on today, right now, in the name of Jesus, to know, Lord Jesus, that there is none like you. Lord, I ask that you continue to touch, Lord Jesus, those who may be sick among us, oh God. Lord, I ask that you touch their bodies right now from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Strengthen them, oh God. Make them whole, Lord Jesus. Continue to watch over and keep them, Lord, like only you can, Lord. And I'm thankful for that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you watch over and you keep us, Lord Jesus. Keep our finances, Lord Jesus. Those who are working, oh God, I ask that you keep them working, Lord Jesus. And those who desire to have a job, Lord Jesus. Those who are looking for a job, Lord, I ask that you bless them with jobs, Lord Jesus. And things, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. For you said in your word that you never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread, that we are both more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Lord Jesus, I ask that you continue, Lord Jesus, to help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, strengthen our faith, Lord Jesus, as we walk in this walk, Lord Jesus, as we talk this talk, Lord, as we take these steps on each and every day, oh God, to know, Lord Jesus, who you are, Lord Jesus, and know that you're, Lord Jesus, that you have us, Lord Jesus, in the palm of thy hand, that you have, Lord Jesus, our best interest at heart, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we honor you on this day. We honor you right now, Lord Jesus. We honor you in this place and where we sit right now in the name of Jesus. As you strengthen us and keep us and hold us in Jesus' name, we ask, amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Safe House. I hope all is well with you, for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I'm just so glad to be back with you on this morning, that, you know, it's another day. That is, this is the day that he has made, and I'm just so grateful to be in it. Good morning to all those all across the world, not only just the Safe House Church, which is our base out of Greensboro, North Carolina, but also good morning to those all around the world, whether you be on Periscope, whether you be on Facebook, whether you be on Instagram, whether you be on the podcast. We have so many different platforms, or just on our regular website. We do have it on our regular website now. And I'm just so grateful that God has given us the ability to use technology to be on so many different platforms at the same time. So I'm just so grateful to him that he told us to go into the highways and the byways and to compel them to come. And as we try to do our part in compelling them to come, that we go out and we do these things and we do what we can with what we have, you know. You know, it's not the size of the fish, but it's the fight in the fish. And I like to think that we're fighting and we're going forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we go forth this morning, I want to place a little bit of worship music as we go in. That, you know, worship is essential to what we do. Why? Because this worship puts us in the mindset to be able to celebrate God. Worship puts us in the mindset to be able to go after him. Worship puts us where he would have us to be, so that when we go into take the word of God to give those things that he's given us, that we will be in the right place and that we'll be in the right frame of mind as we go forward. So I'm just so grateful to him for putting us here in this earth to be able to do this and that. So as we get ready to go into our worship on this morning, and you know, I've tried to be very, very, not strict, I want to say strategic, but very careful in the songs that we play, that, you know, that God has a reason why we play what we play, that we just don't play songs we playing, but God has a thing behind these things. And I believe God has allowed individuals to write the songs they write for a reason. And as we go in this morning, If My People by Fred Hammond. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We as a nation are told to sing. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Heal the land, 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 heal
Hallelujah, Jesus. We're just so grateful to God on this morning. How many of you know that he's the sovereign God? Despite what's going on, despite where you find yourself being, that he's sovereign, that he has all power in his hand. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you worship with me this morning just to acknowledge his sovereignty and who he is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
There aren't even words to describe just how great you are. All your majesty, you continually provide for me. There just isn't anything that you can't do. Lord, I've seen you work before, so I'll trust you all the more, because you are
sovereign God,
you're bigger than all
my problems,
every
situation,
there is
nothing too hard.
For the sovereign God. A wave of your hand can command the seas to bring their peace. If you can handle the seas, then I know that you with all my needs, so I will put every situation into your capable hands. I don't have to know the plan, because
you are the sovereign God.
How many of you know he's sovereign this morning?
Thank you.
How many of you know he's sovereign this morning? He's sovereign this morning. And I know even though he's sovereign, I don't know about you, but I just worship him because of who he is. Not because he's some big Santa Claus. For some people, he comes across as a Santa Claus. But you and I, we worship him for who he is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship him this morning. Thank you.
Because of who you are right here, your glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh, yes, I will. I will worship you because of who you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody say together.
Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Just because of who,
because of who
you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, Jesus,
because of who you are,
I will lift my voice,
I will lift my voice and say,
Lord, I worship you,
Lord, I worship you, because of who you are.
Because of who you are,
because of who you are,
because of who you are, you glory.
Thank you.
Not because of what you've done, but
because of who you are,
I give you praise. Because of who you are,
because of who you are,
I will lift my voice, and say, Lord, I worship you,
Lord, I worship you, because of who you are.
So, Jesus,
Lord, I worship you, because of who you are.
Oh, watch this part right here. It says, you're Jehovah Jireh, and my provider.
Jehovah Nissi.
Jehovah Nissi.
Lord, you reign in
victory. Lord, you reign in victory.
Jehovah
Shammah. Jehovah Shammah.
You know, he's been providing for you even through this circumstance, even through this present time that we're going through, but he's been providing.
You reign with power.
What you're doing for me. I appreciate where you have us, Lord. I appreciate where we are, Lord, because you are my Prince of Peace. And I worship you. Woo!
Come on.
Come on right now. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Say,
because of who you are, I give you praise. And because of who you are, I live my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Give him praise this morning. Give him praise this morning.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you know you worship him because of who he is to us? That he's our provider, he's our savior, he's our king, he's our lily in the valley, he's the bright and morning star, that he has all power in his hand, he's sovereign. He told us that if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek their face and turn from their evil ways, then when you hear from heaven, then he will forgive our sins, then he will heal the land. Who is his people? Those blood-bought people, those blood-washed people, those of us who have been washed up the Lamb. See, he's not talking to the world right now. A lot of people said, you know, they think and they say, well, the whole world should be doing this and they do it. But God has been very specific. He says that if my people who are called upon my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what? Then will he hear from heaven, then he will forgive our sins, and then what? He would heal our land. Good morning to all of you all, to the Safe House Church, especially of Greensboro, North Carolina, where I'm Greensboro's favorite pastor, Dr. Peter Ely, and I'm decreeing and declaring that what? Because I believe God has put a word in my mouth for this day and time, and he's given us people there at the Safe House Church to support us as we go forth and just send this out and do what it is that God has called us to do.
Good morning to those on the various platforms on Periscope. God bless you. On our website, www.safehousechurchgso.com. God bless you. Those on Facebook Live, God bless you. Those on Twitter, God bless you. Those who are listening by way of podcast, God bless you. So many different various forms. You know, I think about it, and I know, you know, a long time ago that God told me that I'll be able to speak to the masses, and I never thought that would be like this, because what I was stuck in the traditional sense, and in the traditional sense, we have a church format that, you know, we'll go there, and when I, you know, God has told us to start a church, and we start a church, and there weren't many people coming in there, you know, you was in the teens, and a couple of, you know, five or six people here, seven people there, and I'm like, God, but I know you told us this. And now, you know, as I look throughout social media, I look what God is doing on the podcast, I look who is not so much who's following you, but it's about who's listening. Oh, come on, somebody. It's not so much that who's following you, because somebody can be following you, but if somebody's listening to what God is giving you, if somebody's listening and taking that word in that God has given you, that makes all the difference. Amen? Amen. And those who are listening by way of the Zoom cast also, I'm just so grateful to God and for what he's done for us here in this particular space. You know, I sit here and I was looking, and you know, I'm just grateful that, number one, that God has given me the ability, you know, intellectually to be able to run all these different platforms. You know, we've been quarantined for a while, and we know we've been dealing with the COVID, coronavirus 2019, as we've been dealing with that. And I just look around and I see the various things that we're able to do that, you know, I'm my own sound man. I got mics and stuff here. I'm my own light man. I got lights here. I'm my own monitor man. I got a monitor here. I'm my own computer guy. I got these here. And I got, you know, I got iPads and all kinds of stuff. I got a couple of iPhones over here. You know, it's really, I got a full-fledged production going here. You got remote controls and all kinds of stuff. And I never thought that this is where we would be. But when God was allowing me to learn these different things and things that I was just playing with, and now what? These things have now become our ministry here, and we're able to go out all across the world. Oh, I forgot. And we're also on YouTube Live. Amen. YouTube Live. So the church has a YouTube page, and we're there on YouTube Live. So we about nine different social media platforms all around the world. And who would ever thought that those skills would come into play like this? And I'm just grateful to God. Hey, those on the various platforms, do me a favor right now. Hit the share button. Share this with somebody, as the Bible says. That he said, if you be ashamed of me, then I will be ashamed of you. So I ask right now that you share this broadcast with somebody else around the world. Just hit the share button, and you know, please leave a comment. Go to our website, leave a comment, or leave a page. Go to our Twitter. Our Twitter is at Safe House C, and you'll see the little logo. Our Instagram is Safe House Church, and you'll see the little our logo there also. And on various platforms, what we're trying to do is not just trying to gather the followers. We want to gather what? Disciples, right? Because we believe on three things here at the Safe House Church. We work with discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. That's discipleship, because we're going to teach them. Now, empowerment, we're going to put you in position to do the work that God has called you to do. And then accountability, we're going to hold you accountable. We just don't believe in just sending you out there to the wolves. But there's an accountability piece in this. And as we go through this, then what we find is that we continue to get this reprimand or rebuffing on this on each and every day. I'm glad we was able to switch some platforms now. I'm looking, as I can see, like things are moving a little bit smoother. We got a little bit more equipment. Thank you, Safe House Church, as we got a new computer and we got a new iPad to be able to run these things. And then we're still working on another camera, but God is good. And I'm grateful that we have what we have and things are going across. Now I'm not as choppy as I've been. So y'all mess around. Y'all gonna have me looking like CBS here in a minute. You know, let me keep doing this piece. And I'm just grateful. Also, I want to go before we go into what God has given us today. I want to give a praise report. You know, a couple of weeks back, we know that those who are in the personal service industry were shut down and that they could not go out and, you know, run their salons and run their barbershops. And God had laid a heart laid on my wife's heart to bless those who were working in that area. Shouts out to First Lady Ely. Amen. Or she likes to be called, like she says, she's just Felicia. And in that, God had touched me too and said, you know what, this is something we can do. So what we did is we asked every member of the Safe House Church to tell us who their barber was, and for the men and for the women who were their beauticianists and or stylists. And we asked them if they had a cash app. We know we in this day and time now of electronic giving and electronic transfer. And we asked them and said, do they have a cash app? And what we did is we gathered all those Cash App, and God laid on our heart that we gave each one of them $100. $100 that from this ministry, no strings attached, that this is what God, we believe that God blessed us to do, because God has been good to the Safe House Church. Like I said, it's not the size of the dog, but it's, as they say, it's the fight in the dog, and God has been good to us. And from that, we was able to do those things. Let me make sure I mute this here. I don't want any odd sounds coming in. Amen. As people start to post on Facebook and stuff, and I encourage you to post. We was able to do that, and I think we gave right at over a little bit of $1,000. Amen. We was able to give $1,000 because we are tithing church, and we believe in tithing. And I tithe. You know, it's not one of these. I know some preachers and some ministries have, but the minister don't tithe. But I tithe. I believe it. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I don't do. You know, because tithing has gotten me here. God has opened up doors for me. It's put me in tremendous places that I would never ever thought that I'll see in wars and things that we were. There's no goodness of my own, but it's the goodness of him. So we was able to bless them and able to bless the evangelists and all that. And we always try to protect the identity of those we bless. And this week, I got a letter in the mail. And first off, I was surprised to get this letter in the mail, number one. And the reason I was surprised to get this letter in the mail, and because number one, we have a church address and we have a P.O. box. But this individual thought so much that they seeked out and they found my home address, and you know, which at first was a little scary. I was like, Lord, how did they find this? Because you know, we just moved here recently and was wondering how did this happen. But nonetheless, you know, it was addressed to the church, and I opened it up and I was reading here, and there was a thank you card here. And I know many of those God blessed us to bless, you know, they sent thank you via Facebook and all kinds of things. But it was something a little special when you get actually a thank you card from somebody that you never even met. And it was handwritten, y'all. And I want to share that with you all this morning. Why? Because I think this is important. Why do I think this is important? There's a story in the Bible of the story of lepers. And there were 10 lepers. There were 10 lepers who was what? They had leprosy. And they were so induced with leprosy that they couldn't move, and they were not allowed in the city. They were separated, kind of like where we are right now with the coronavirus. If you have that, then you're what, separated away. And Jesus came into the camp, and Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus healed all 10 lepers. They asked to be healed. Jesus healed all 10 lepers. And, you know, the miracle in this story, of course, was Jesus healing the lepers. But I think the more important part of the story that often gets left is that out of the 10 that Jesus healed, there was one, 10%. Oh, come on, somebody. That 10% runs throughout the Bible, right? But out of all that Jesus healed, there was one the Bible talks about that came back with gratitude towards Jesus and personally thanked Jesus for what he done. He came and personally thanked Jesus for saving him. And when I got this note, that's what I thought about, was that one, that out of all the ones that God has allowed us to bless that went the extra mile to send this. And I want to read this to you because I think it's important. Amen. So it says this: Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. I just wanted to say personally, thank you. I was truly blessed by the blessing of generosity of your church family has shared with me during this pandemic. God has truly showed me that he is in control and my provider. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a vessel for God. With love and thankfulness, Sister Christine Harrison, Temporarily Closed Salon, Innovation Styles. I don't tell people where to go, but I believe that this is a woman of God, and God has a special call on her life. And if you get an opportunity to find Innovative Styles, if you're here in the Greensboro area, I ask that you go. And then she leads with Luke 6:38 that we know so well. And it says this: Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back unto you. The Safe House Church appreciates this note. The Safe House Church cherishes this. This is the first one we ever gotten. And so I would never forget this. And as we was going through this morning, and I was paying my tithes and getting, you know, preparing for often, God laid on our heart. So Sister Christine, I asked that if you're listening or somebody knows her, hey, go out there, check your Cash App. God has put it on our heart. We bless you with $200 more. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I believe in planting seeds in people's lives. Amen. We just don't talk about it, but we actually put our money where our mouth is. So go back. There's $200 more there for you. To God be the glory. We know you're still without work. We know that you're still doing the things that you need to do. So we want to be a blessing to you, that we're here to be a blessing. You know, we don't have to be big in size, but what we got to be effective with what God has given us. So I ask that you go back and you check that and be blessed. Amen. So I just look forward to hear more and more of the testimonies and things that God is doing through this pandemic time. I ask that you all bear with me as I continue, you know, to work with these different things in technology here. We, like I said, we have so many different pieces here that I have going on, and sometimes it takes me a little bit to get everything going. So ask that you all bear with me. So with that in mind, we're ready to go ahead and talk, and I'm going to the word today. And for the last week, God has had me stuck on this guy named Nehemiah. It just kind of came, you know, I don't believe nothing just comes out of the blue, but it just kind of came to us, and I just started studying and seeking, what about this Nehemiah character? What about Nehemiah? And I started studying and finding more and more about him. And Nehemiah is actually a book in the Bible. You know, and I always try to give you all background because of, you know, I'm a researcher by trade, and I believe in being scholarly, and I believe in giving justice and giving honor where honor is due. So from what I find in the book of Nehemiah, they tell us they weren't sure, from theologian scholars, if it was written by Israel or Nehemiah, or they believe that it was a combination of the two because of the way the book was written. But most scholars have given attribute to this book of Nehemiah to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is set in a unique time period in that it's one of the last time God is speaking to the children of Israel here. You know, we find, you know, you have Malachi, of course, towards the end of the Old Testament. And then there's Esther. And actually, what we find, Esther is actually nested in between Ezra. Ezra, believe it or not, that Bible scholars tell us. And as we find, so I try to be a student of the word. We find that Nehemiah is a man of many talents. He finds himself in a place that he is the king's cupbearer. Now, think about it. What's the king's cupbearer? Number one, to be the king's cupbearer, you got to be of high status. You have to be of unreproach. You have to be in a place that people trust you. Why? Because what he does is he takes sips of the king's stuff before he gets it. You know, if someone tries, you know what the king's cupbearer do? That he's the good of the land. He's well. Why? Because he gets to try things and taste the food and stuff before the king gets it. So basically what happens is, from my understanding, like if you was the cupbearer of the king, they would give you the wine first and you would sip the wine. So you're sipping the best of the best. You're eating the good of the good, and you would sip the wine, and they would look to make sure that it didn't kill you. Because see, that this day and time, there are a lot of times that people were poisoned. This is why, you know, it says that, you know, you should, you know, God said, you know, in the Bible, it says that you would take up serpents and all these poisonous things, and they would not harm you. Why? Because there were people poisoning people all the time through their food and things like this. So the cupbearer was a very, very important person in the scheme of things. And what they did is they would taste the food and all this thing. And they were very close to the king. And I would like to think that as a cupbearer, that you actually had the king's ear, that you'd be able to talk to him. And every time he wanted to eat, there you were. So this was a very high-ranking position, and we find ourselves as children of God, that God has put some of us in very high-ranking positions. We have people who will not move or take another step unless they hear from us. They trust what God has done in us that much. You know, we have people who are believers that trust that what God has done in us that much, that they won't even move as believers until they hear what God has done for us. This is why we also have to be careful that we as pastors and we as preachers and ministers and prophets and leaders of God, that we don't find us, you know, that we don't put ourselves in a place that we become people's God. Oh, come on, somebody, that I ain't died for anybody. I didn't go to the grave for anybody. You know, I didn't, not for the remission of sins for anybody. So we must be careful in that space that we don't do that. We must be careful that we don't find ourselves in that spot, that if we get to that point that we do those kind of things, that then what? Then God would be jealous, you know, us. And he said that God is a jealous God, then that no one should have what, that glory in his sight. So here we gotta make sure that we point people to God and not to us. Are you with me this morning? And as we point people to God and not with us, we have to remind ourselves that we are men and that we are women of God and that we are subject to the fall. So here Nehemiah is serving the king. Nehemiah is what, a exile. So at this point in time, Nebuchadnezzar has come in, and Nebuchadnezzar has come in, and he's taken over the land. Nebuchadnezzar is running the Babylon, And Babylon, as we go in and we go and transfer and find out what is Babylon today, we know it's modern day Iraq. So you hear them talking about Mesopotamia. You hear them talking about the Tigris rivers. These things are what are right there in your Bible that you can go and find and cross reference today. The Bible is the ever living book. It is real and it's with us right now. So here you, I want to give you the background. I want you to get a setting because content also with context actually help you to understand what's really going on. So a lot of people said the Bible doesn't matter and it's outdated and this and that. Well, see, a lot of times we don't get the content with the context. See, when you think understand things in the conceptual framework of things and the conceptual view of what's going on, then this will help you to understand where we are, to help you understand why things were said the way they were said, to help you understand why things were done the way they were done and why they were, you know, executed and why they went about how they went about things. So I wanted to set this background up for you so you can understand where Nehemiah is. So Nehemiah is actually what? With the king of Persia. I'm not going to mess his name up. I think it's Antaxerxes. You all know how I am with names and pronunciations, so forgive me for charging to my head and not my heart. But he was serving here the king of Persia. And the king of Persia, and there's some things going on in the land. And Jerusalem and Israel at this time, they have a wall that's built around it. You know, walls were what? The first sign of protection. This is why you hear, as we read in Bible class, said that I will be, Jesus said in Psalms that I will be, that David wrote in Psalms, they said that he is our fortress, right? And he's our fortress. And that, what you know about a fortress is that what fortress has a wall around it. And that wall around it has now been desecrated here in Israel. It's been torn down. The wall is gone. There is no longer a wall there. And now here you have Nehemiah. He doesn't have to go back. Nehemiah is a man that he has it going on. He has the nice home. He has the nice cars. And I'm bringing it into 2020. I'm alienizing this text for you right now so that it can be relevant and you can understand what I'm going today. That he has a nice home. He has a nice car. He has a good job. He has a little bit of money in the bank. The family is happy. He's thriving. He's met all the things that society would say would be what of a successful person. He has that going on for him. He has all those things going. So now as we move forward here, we're going to find that what he's being challenged. And what I'm finding that many of us of children of God are being challenged. We are being challenged today and we are being challenged in ways that God is telling us that, well, it's time for us to do a little bit more. It's time for us to say a little bit more. It's time for us to go forward a little bit more in what we are doing. And he has us in a place. He's not just giving you things, just to be giving you things. He's not giving you stuff, just to be giving you stuff. But he's giving you these things. Why? So that you could bless the Lord, that you could bless somebody else, that we could be a help to someone else, that we could take those things that he's given us. So if I use for a subject today, I want to talk to you from intensity in authenticity. Intensity in authenticity. What do you mean by that? So when I think about intensity, I think about, you know, a very, very focused situation, a very, very focused point of view, a very, very intentional, strategic place that I find myself in when I think about intensity. And when I think about authenticity, I think about something that's being real, something that is real. That's the real McCord. You know, the real McCord, that we use that name, especially in African-American terms. The real McCord simply meant that it was this guy named Elijah McCord. And I know you didn't come for a Black History moment, but this is who I am. And I believe in spreading this whole thing out for you. And Elijah McCord made things so well that he was so sought after. Do you not know there are some things that you do so well that people are seeking you right now, that people are seeking your expertise, that people are seeking your skill set? Mm-hmm. And they're looking for you. This is how you're going to get your wealth. This is how you get out of poverty. This is how you become well off, that people are seeking that which God has put in your hand and you placed as a gift. Mm-hmm. So with Elijah McCoy, he did things so well that when people went to go buy it, you know, people have started, you know, when you do something well, this is what you're going to find. When you do something well, you'll find that people are going to actually try to copy you, that people are going to actually come back and try to do that which you do. And when they try to come back and do what you do, you'll find that they cannot do it the way that you do it. Why? Because you've been called to do it. It is part of who you are. It's part of your authenticity, and it's part of what God has put it placed in your hand to help you and bring things into fruition. Okay. Now, with that being said, what he's done here with this one particular individual is that he's given him some things, just like he's given you and I some things. And what he did with Elijah McCoy is that his stuff was so good that people, when they went to go buy it, they used to want to make sure that they didn't have a counterfeit. And the way they would ask for a counterfeit, they would ask simply this: is it the real McCoy? Is it the real McCoy? Meaning that, is this Elijah McCoy's work? Is this the real thing? Is this exactly what it is? So here, authenticity, I'm thinking about, are you real? Is this really who you are? Is this really what you bring to the table? Is this really what you do? And because you're authentic in it, and we know who you are, meaning when you're being authentic and working in authenticity, it means that what? You're not phony. Be who you are, where you are. I know I'm an African-American male. I'm loud. I like to talk a lot, but I'm also very smart. And, you know, sometimes because of, you know, who I am, I felt I was in places and situations that I pulled back a little bit. You and I, brothers and sisters, some of us been in places and situations we pull back a little bit. Why? Because, you know, the intensity of who we are authentically cannot be handled by some of the individuals around us, cannot be handled by those who are connected to us. And what I find is that which God has given you, if they can't handle it, it was never for them. Oh, come on, son. I'm already preaching. I ain't got to the text yet, but it must not have been for them. So before I get preaching and I go in, let's go ahead and let's transfer over to that text. All right, so the text, and I apologize if it's hard for you all to see this a little bit this morning, but I'll try. Nehemiah, we're in Nehemiah. We in the first chapter. Amen. We're in the first chapter this morning. We're in the first chapter, and we are in verse number 3 here. Let me get my thing going here. Verse 3 is where I want to start. Nehemiah, the first chapter, verse number 3. I might just want to switch this back because it's not moving the way I want. So give me one quick second here, and we'll switch this back here because if it's not going to work right, I'd rather not use it. Amen. 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 All right. Let me switch this back for you. So we're in Nehemiah. I think I have my verse here somewhere. I wrote it down. Let's see here. I thought I did. Well, maybe I did. Yes, no. All right, but anyway, we're in the book of Nehemiah. I want to start in chapter 3. Book of Nehemiah, chapter number 3, and it says this. Okay, let me find my place. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So here what we find is that what Nehemiah here has gotten word in Persia. Remember, I gave you this background in the beginning that he's in Persia, and he's gotten this word in Persia that these things have happened, that the gates have been burned, the wall has been turned down because the city has been overtaken. And Jerusalem is just in disarray. And that's his home. I don't know about you, that God has put some of us in some amazing places. You know, we work with presidents and CEOs and all these kind of things. And we're away from home. And, you know, sometimes even when you're away from home, I don't know about you, but I still have a longing towards home. I still worry about the people the things that happen to people in my small town. I still, I ask questions. And if I can help people there, I help who I can help. So here, this is what you find, is even though God has blessed him and he's doing all these great things and stuff, that he has what? He's in this place that, you know, some things are going on back home, and I'm kind of concerned about them. And he's what? He's gone before God, and he's praying and he's fasting and say, okay, God, what's going on here? And then we in verse 5, and it says this, and said, I beseech thee, O brethren. Sorry about that, you all. This thing we keep going. It says, I beseech thee, O beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thy ear be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. So here, what you find, the first thing that Nehemiah does is he comes in and says, okay, God, I know we have sinned. He's asking for repentance on the behalf of everybody, not only himself, his father's house, but the entire land. You know, when we want something from God, you know, we have to make sure, number one, that there's a clear path. And the clear path is what given to us by making sure that there's no sin. The Bible said, what, there be no sin shall what tarry in his sight. So therefore, we come to God and what, remove all obstacles, remove all barriers. That's number one. Number one, the reason why he, what, he prays. When he wants God to hear his prayer, he has to remove all obstacles. Obstacle number one here is what, he fasts. So what fasting does, what, it puts our spirit man under control. It puts this body under control. The whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to grow. So he puts the spirit man under control by what? By putting him under subjection, by fasting, sustaining himself from food. Then what? He's praying. So what? He's strengthening his spirit man. And then he asks what? For forgiveness of sin, so that what? All these things are removed so that he can hear a word from God. Are y'all with me this morning? That so that God can hear his prayers. And then he asks God to look. Lord, can you see what's going on? I'm asking you, open up your eyes. Let your ears be attentive to me. Let your ears be attentive to me, Lord, because I want you to see what's going on here in this land. Then he goes on and he says this in verse, and he says, verse 7, he says, we have dwelt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou servant Moses. So here he's what? He's reminding him, like, look, Lord, you've given us these things from Moses, and here we are, we're not even following. Does it sound familiar to you here in 2020? Does it sound familiar to you that what we're saying the same thing over and over? That God has given us, and we're a nation who have completely turned their back on God. We have leaned into our own understanding, that we've made our own ways, we've made our own judgments, and you know, we've made, you know, laws in the land that people can just do any and everything that they want to do. You know, and you know, and a lot of, there are a lot of things I don't agree with, you know, but we have a system here that we often acknowledge as what, the world system, and it's the world system, and in this system that all these things happen. So he's what, he's asking God that, Lord, we messed up, we're not even following those commandments that you've given us. So then he goes on and says, remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out to the uttermost part of heaven, ye will I gather thee from this and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Verse 10, and he says, now thou art the servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servants and the prayer of thy servants whose desire to fear the name and prosper. I pray thee that thy servants this day and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, notice here, if you take with you will, you have Nehemiah. I've given you some of the background, what's going on with Nehemiah. Nehemiah here is praying before God and say, okay, God, here's the place, here's the situation. But Lord, my heart has a longing for my people. Yes, I'm eating the good of the land. Yes, I'm being taken care of. Yes, all of my things are good, and you know, my family's well, and my bills are paid, and my family's going to eat. My grass is cut, and you know, I have a little bit extra on the side. But yeah, there's some people that belong to me. There's a people that I come out of. There's a people who prayed for me. There's a people who looked out for me. There was a people who fed me when I was hungry. There was a people who picked me up on the side of the road when I was walking. There was a people who looked out for me, Lord, when I couldn't look out for myself. There was a people who was washing my clothes. There was a people who are wiping my, cleaning me up, Lord, that was changing my diapers, Lord, when I was a young lad. There was a people who were praying for me. There was a people who were looking out for me. There were a people who knew me before I knew myself. There was a people people who saw the greatness in my life. There was a people who saw, Lord, your hand on my life. There was a people who knew all these things about me, Lord, before I knew myself, oh God, that now are in need of my skill set, that are now in need, Lord. There was a people who didn't want to listen to the intensity of my arguments, Lord. There was a people, Lord Jesus, who were afraid of what I've become, oh God, because not because you couldn't use me, oh God, but because they wanted me for themselves, oh God, and they wanted me for what it is that they wanted to do for their own doing, oh God. But there was a people, Lord Jesus, that you call me out of now, Lord Jesus, that are in need of me, oh God. There was a people, oh God, that you set me forth, oh God, and that you changed my mind, Lord, that you saw for my heart, oh God, that you brought down some of my, Lord Jesus, you made me humble, oh God, under thy hand to realize, Lord Jesus, not what I've done, is not what I did, it's not what I learned, it's not where I've been, oh God, but you have allowed all these things to come, and Lord Jesus, to me, experience them, oh God, so that I can go back and be a help to thy people. And now the time has come in Nehemiah's life that he has to make a decision, and he's made a decision to say, okay, look, King, I enjoy serving you, King, and King, I enjoy being on this part of the land, and King, you've been good to me, oh God, and King, you've done this for me, Lord, and King, I've ate up the good of the land, and King, I've not wanted for anything, and I have houses, and I have homes, and my family's taken care of, oh God, but there's a longing for me to go back and help my people, oh God. There's a longing, oh God, that's in my spirit, oh God. You're telling me, Lord Jesus, that to whom much is given, that much is required. Oh God, there's a thing that's inside of me, oh God, that's telling me, Lord Jesus, that I need to go forth, oh God, in this day and in this season and in this time, oh God, that my people are in need of my help, oh God, and that you raised me up, oh God, to be in a place and in a position in a time, oh God, that Lord Jesus, that now that their ears are attentive, oh God, their eyes are open, oh God, that they want to hear which thus saith the Lord, oh God, for they're hurting, oh God, some are hungry, oh God, some are desolate, oh God. Some are strung out on heroin and drugs and all this place. Lord, some are just giving their bodies and selling themselves, oh God. Some are finding themselves, Lord, in a place that they're just trying to make ends meet any way that they can, oh God. But Lord, now you got us in a place, Lord, that you've told us, oh God. And Nehemiah goes to the king, oh God. And he goes to the king and he asks the king, oh God, can he go, Lord Jesus, back home, oh God? And Lord Jesus, you had turned the king's heart, Lord God. Lord, that you have set the king's heart, Lord Jesus, that the king granted his request, oh God. And when the king granted his request, oh God, he did not send them home empty-handed, oh God, but he put them in a position of authority, oh God, and he put them in a position of power, oh God, and you told him that he is to go, oh God, and to be the governor of the land, oh God. So now he goes back with platform, oh God, that he's in a place, in a position, oh God, that he can help them, oh God, to help them to understand where they are and how to come out of this place, oh God. And what you do is you put on his heart, oh God, that he's to go back and to rebuild the wall, Lord Jesus. And the wall is going to be rebuilt, oh God, because you've given him the ingenuity, oh God. You've given him the finances, oh God. You've given him the connections, oh God. You've given him the friends, oh God. You've given him the know-how, oh God. And he doesn't come back, oh God, to be, Lord Jesus, over your people, oh God, but he's there to share and to share life with them, Lord Jesus, to show, Lord Jesus, that you are good, and Lord Jesus, that you sent them away for a season like you did Moses, oh God. And now you're bringing them back, oh Lord, so that he's there to be able to help them, oh God, to understand some things, to help them to go through this time. Lord, so now Nehemiah finds himself going back home to Jerusalem, oh God, and he's in Jerusalem right now. And what he's doing in Jerusalem is, you, he could have stayed where he was, but there was an intensity in his authenticity that he knew who he was, that he knew that despite what God has blessed him with, despite what he had going on, despite what he could do in this place, and despite what he could do in this circumstance, and despite where he could go and be in all this, but it didn't mean anything if those whom he loved and those whom he was a part of, if they were suffering, if they couldn't get it together, if they were hungry and they couldn't go, because there would be nothing to go back to. And he has decided in his heart, oh God, that he's going to go back. Now he's doing what? He's taking his skills back. He's taking his knowledge back. And now they're in a place that they're ready to listen in, because he's being authentic to who he is. He knows that he's Jewish in his heart. He knows that he's one of the children of Israel in his heart. And he cannot watch the good of the land over here while his people are suffering here, while his people are in torment over here, while his people are being bound over here. So God, what inspires him that he goes back to the land? Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you are going back to the land. What I mean by back to the land, that now God has moved some of those people that wouldn't hear you, that God has removed some of those people who wouldn't listen to you. But also at the same time, what God has done is that he's worked on
you. Oh, come on, somebody. That now you ain't arrogant no more. Oh, you ain't going in. You ain't trying to throw your weight around anymore. Oh, come on, somebody. So, but God has a way that in even working for the king, that he's able to what? Take us and mold us and shape us, that some of us, it's time for us to go back. It's time for us to go back and what? And take our rightful place, that God has already set a place for you there. Why? Because they have been waiting on you, and they were waiting on Nehemiah to come back. And so now Nehemiah comes back, and what do? He's building the wall again. And the Bible tells me that as we go in, we find that the wall that could not seem to be built, and they were having problems getting built, the wall is built back in 52 days. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm here to tell somebody today that things that they didn't do in 52 years, that God is going to bless you to do in 52 days. Oh, yeah, I feel my help coming on this morning. Now, 52, you see, some of us, you know, some of it's our own doing. We've been in our own way. We've been in our own self-definition. We've been in our own situation. Is that, you know what, let them jokers suffer. You know what, they don't want to listen to me. I'm trying to show them how to do something. And I'm trying to, you know, I don't want them to be like this, but they won't listen. But some of us had to get to the place and point in time that God had to humble some of us. Amen. Because some of us was arrogant in what we had. Some of us was arrogant in what he's allowed us to do. And God has a way of humbling you. He has a way of humbling you and putting you under his hand. He said, he that what? That humbles himself, that way he will exalt. It would be he that will exalt him. So now that you got into a place that you're humble, that God has softened your heart, he softened the people's heart. They are now waiting on you. They're waiting for you to come back. They're waiting on to hear your word. They're waiting for you to be able to share some of the knowledge and expertise. They're waiting for you. Why? Because they would not be saved if they don't hear from you. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking about being in the intensity in your authenticity, that what you are intense. Yes, you are. I know I'm intense all the time. That's just how it is. That's who God has made me to be. And sometimes there's some people that can't stump me. And because of that, I understand that. And I used to take that personal. But what I found out is that God has given me the intensity, and he's given me the spirit, and he's given me the what he's given me for a purpose and for a reason. And he's given me just enough of it to do what I need to do. This is why Nehemiah was able to go back and build a wall in 52 days. Why? Because God had called him to do that thing. God had already placed in his heart. He had given him the intensity to be able to do that. He's already showed them how to do it. He already knew how to do it. And now it's just a place of him coming in, things that they could not ever get done, places that they found themselves not getting to, things that they wanted to do, and places they wanted to go, and stuff they wanted to get done that couldn't get done in years is now done in a matter of days. And it's not because of who you are. It's not because you're on your high horse, but it's because of who God is in your life. Oh, come on, somebody. If somebody with me right now, let me see you say amen. Type amen where you are. Hit amen where you are. Because what? God is now taking some of us. Now it's our time. Now we're next up. And now what are you going to do about it? Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you have been hollering for years. Lord, when I'm going to get an opportunity? I'm telling you right now is your opportunity. I'm telling you right now he's giving you platform. Have you humbled yourself? Have you seek God's face? Have you been attentive to his ear? Have you been watching what he's been, you know, have you been watching and looking over this? Now is the time. And you don't go in there with arrogance. You don't go in there with on sedity. You don't go in there riding your high horse, but you go in there as a servant, because true leaders are servants. Oh, come on, somebody. That true leaders, the disciples asked Jesus, and they said, Jesus, who do you say is the greatest among all the disciples? And what they didn't understand is that at the time that they were all on the same level, they were trying to figure out they were great by, you know, who they, what they understood and how much, you know, things they had and how many resources they had and all this stuff. And Jesus said, he that's made greatest among you, let them be a servant to them. Out of all the things that we do, out of all the things we have, if you're not serving somebody, what are you doing? If you're not being a servant to somebody, why are you doing it? You must ask yourself, and you must look at this thing today, brothers and sisters, and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? If I'm not serving somebody else, you know, and if I'm not helping somebody else, what is the point? What is the point to sit over here and make myself rich and make myself fat? The Bible already told us that with good measure shaken down, running over that way, he would give man back to your bosom, back, you know, according to what? The measure that you've given. So if you've given a lot, then you can expect a lot. If you've given a lot of yourself, you can expect a lot. Well, that God, what, that he's going to take care of you, whether it comes back to you or your children or your children's children. He knows exactly when it needs to come. You know, some of the things that I have and some of the blessings I have is not things that I've done, but it was those that came before me. those who prayed before me, those who fasted before me, those who looked out before me. You see what I'm saying? You know, I was finding this weekend as I was talking to my father, and I was finding out, you know, and we was, you know, talking about the genealogy of our family. And, you know, as you get older, those things matter. You want to know more things. You want to know, understand things now, because you understand that those things shape who you are. And I found it interesting as we was talking, I found out that there were seven Peters in my family, seven Peters, and I am number seven. So there's a Peter, Peter, Master, Eli in every generation of Elis. Oh, come on, somebody. And, you know, and I don't think it's by accident that I'm number seven. Seven is what? The year, the time of what? Completion. We know it's be the number of completion. And I just believe that all these things that God was doing in each one of these Peters, none of them were perfect. And the one before you is not perfect. But all these things are coming together. Oh, come on, somebody. That this Peter had this, and this Peter had this, and that Peter had that. And all these little rocks are coming together. Peter, Petros, Pebble. What it means, facility of faith, that rock that Jesus told me, he said, upon this rock, I shall build my church. That all these things are coming together. And now what? I have what? The burdens of those who have gone past me who did not see it come to fruition. But what? Now it's come to fruition in my life, that what I have is not my own, that I only have this is what? A rental in this rental life. Amen. That what I've been given to, what I've been given access for, is not about me. It's about me what being authentic in this space and realizing who I am, who God has called me to be, and where God has called me to be able to use those things to help the kingdom go forward, to help somebody else, to be able to help our family, to be able to help brothers and sisters all around the world. Are y'all with me? So I'm telling you today, what is it that God has did for you? Your intensity in your authenticity. What is it that you need to be so uniquely authentic about that God has put it laced in your hand that you can change the masses, that people will listen to you, that there's some things that if brothers and sisters would be changed because of what you've done for them, be changed because of some of the things that you told them, be changed because of some of the time that you spent with them, will be changed because of, you know, that you were able to give them access and show them things that they never even imagined before. Oh, come on, somebody. That these things are what are possible. That what, you know, we have this saying in one of my groups, the, you know, 100 Black Men of America, and it says that they'll be what they see. Oh, come on, someone. They'll be what they see. And this is why, you know, I believe that God, where the, you know, you talk about faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet the evidence of things unseen. But we have to see them in our spirit before they come to fruition. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me today? That what we have to see these things in our spirit. And when we see them in our spirit, God plants them in our heart. And when they're planted in our hearts, then what happens is you can't shake it. I don't know about you, but once God has planted something in my heart, it's a wrap. You might as well hang it up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do everything in me, because what? It would not let me sleep. It would not let me rest. It would not let me stop. There are some things that God has shown me, just like this ministry. I couldn't stop. I couldn't rest until this ministry is done. I couldn't stop. I couldn't rest and what until I get it. Why? You know, I'm just stubborn like that. But that's my intensity, because that's my piece of my authenticity and my intensity in doing the work that God has called me to do. Why? Because when it's in my spirit, it's gotta happen. And I believe God is gonna do it. And I can't sleep. And maybe it takes years. And you know, the Bible says in Habakkuk, it said, write the vision and make it plain. He said, don't wait, tarry, and it may wait for a while, but it shall speak and not die. So some of you, what? You got to wait on it. Some of us got to wait a little bit. Some of us, there's some time in here, but I'm here to tell you that God is already moving, that it's not by accident that you are at home, that you have the opportunity to start these businesses. You have the opportunity to look at things different. You have the opportunity to write those books. You have the opportunity to look at this and call people on the phone and just speak a word of life to them and be kind to them. You have the opportunity. You've been saving this money for years and years and years, and God's been telling you to give it away before he blow on. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, give it away before I blow on it. Because don't you not know one doctor visit can blow all you've been saving? You know, so what? I have to remember that what? We don't put our faith in chariots. We don't put our faith in those things that we have and those things that we've done. But we put our faith here in him. And by putting our faith in him, then what? He knows, and what he said, these things, he'll let you have these things. It's not that he don't want you to have them. He just don't want them to overtake you. You know, the Bible says this, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And we know people who are in love with it, so much so that they're willing to put others' lives in jeopardy for it, so much so that they're willing to put others' lives in jeopardy. Others are willing to, you know, die for it and do all these things. Why? And then you do all this for what? And you don't even have your life anymore. So let me leave you with a couple of points here, and I'm done today. And I hope that you've gotten some things out of this intensity and authenticity. Number one, be authentic in your space. You know, if God called you to be a teacher, you be the best teacher you can be. Be authentic. Be authentic. Be who it is that you are. You know, I'm not T.D. Jakes, even though I think he's a phenomenal preacher. You know, I'm not a great singer. You know, I'm not a great songwriter like Donna Lawrence, and I'm not Paul Morton and all that. But you know, and it took me a while because you know you find yourself that you know you don't think what you have is good enough. Oh, come on, somebody! I'm speaking to somebody right now. I'm speaking to somebody who's dealing with some self-esteem issues. You know, people see you on platforms and things like this, and they don't know the struggle that you have. They don't know because what you don't think what you have is good enough. You don't think what you have is intense enough. You don't think what you have is ready to go forward right now, right? When you know, because you're looking at others and you're like, well, mine don't look like theirs, and my voice don't sound like theirs, and I don't hoop like them, and I don't talk like them, and sometimes I don't read it that well, and you know, I'm slew-footed, and I might be a little bit overweight and all these things. But I'm here to tell you today that you're exactly where God wants you to be. And he's changing your mindset there. He said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So it's a mindset change for you. And during this time of quarantine, during this time that you and I are sitting here, this is the time for you and I to reflect on our mindset and say, Lord, what is it that you've called me to do, Lord Jesus, that I don't feel good about, that I don't want to go forward? Why? Because I'm worried about what somebody's going to say. You know, for years, I worried about what people had to say. And I had to have certain people's approval to do things and all this and that. And what I found out is that I was my own biggest enemy. God was saying, go forth. He said, take the step. And I'm going to, he said like this, he said, that, you know, a good man, I order that steps that I'm going to lead and direct your paths. But some of us won't take the steps. Why? Because we're looking for people to say, oh, it's okay for you to go forward. We're looking for people to say, this is cool. We're looking for people to say that, you know, validate us. And then what I'm finding and what I'm understanding is that God is giving the validation before people even acknowledge it. Come on, somebody. Let me give you an example. Look, this weekend, many of these kids, you know, even at the university I work at, many of the kids this week would have graduated from college. They would have graduated from high school. And we noticed because of what we're dealing with as a country, there is no graduation ceremony. At the graduation ceremony, what do we actually do? At the graduation ceremony is where we do what we call confer the degree. What we do is what we publicly acknowledge that this person is a graduate of this program. This person has done all these things. And now we publicly tell everybody else that you've done them. But the truth of the matter is some of you are not going to get that. And I know some of you that it hurts your heart and I get that and I understand that and you have my sympathy. But at the same time, does it mean that you've not graduated? At the same time, does it mean that you've not done the things that you needed to do? At the same time, does it not mean that you passed the test? Oh, come on, somebody. At the same time, does it not mean that you're going on to the next level? At the same time, does it not mean that you're moving on and you're getting jobs and some of you are going to college and all these kind of things? Just because we did not have a ceremony for you does not mean that it's not going to happen. Doesn't mean that it's not already done. So you've already graduated. It's already done. It's already what? It's already happened. It's already happened. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm telling you today? It's already happened. And because it's already happened, you have to walk in it. And what's going to happen is later on, it might be 5 or 6 years down the road, maybe 10 or maybe one. They're going to come along at some point and they're going to what? They're going to affirm what God has already said he's done. They're going to affirm what you already knew. You already got this college degree. You already got this high school diploma. You already know you earned it. Why? Because you got it along the way. It did not all happen at that one day and that one time when we said, congratulations, you are a graduate of this institution. It did not happen then. When did it happen? All along the way. So those little wins that you've been having, those things that God has been allowing you to go through, the circumstances that you've been fighting, the places that you found yourself, you know, struggling, those are the little wins that you've been winning all along the way. This is why we have to what, enjoy the journey. You know, I used to have a little thing on my Facebook profile that says, this is, you know, what we think success is, or what we, you know, and this is how we think success is, just this straight up slope curve, right? I mean, the slope line just going straight to the top, when success really is more like this, right? Up, down, left, right, go back a little bit, and
And you can, but if you notice here, I'm continually doing what? Going forward to the point that I'm there. And we have to remind ourselves, this is what real success looks like. We can't judge the world. You know, when we're looking at Facebook or we're looking at Instagram or Periscope or all these different platforms, remember, we're looking at people's highlight reels. We're looking at the best that they have to offer. Mm-hmm. Me included. You think I'm just going to put all the bad stuff out there? Probably not. So we have to remind ourselves that what? You've already graduated. Be authentic that you can and you will and you must do it. And this is the thing. This is the thing. Catch this part. Number two, catch this. If you decide that you're not going to do it, we do not have it. So what if Bill Gates decided that, you know what, I'm not going to make the personal computer. We don't have Windows. It's not that he's just going to give it to somebody else. Because remember, it's authentic to you. If Nehemiah did not go back and build that wall in 52 days, it would have not been built in 52 days. Why? Because it was unique to him. And God had given it to him to build. So if he decided not to build it, then it would not have happened. Do you understand the importance of you now? Do you understand why it's so important? What is it? How many things have we not seen because people have made the decision within themselves to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Some made the decision to take the end of their lives, and we do not get to see greatness. Why? Because they've decided that they're not going to do it. They decided that they're not going to do it. You know, I'm asking you today, what would the world be without because you decided not to do it? What would the world be without because somebody decided to abort the baby, both literally and spiritually? What would it be? Do you understand what I'm saying? So number one, be authentic. Number two, know what it is that you called to do. Nobody else can do it but you. And if you don't do it, we don't have it. It's a copycat. It's a copy. And I don't know about you, copies of can be okay sometimes in certain circumstances, but I'd rather have the authentic thing. I'd rather have the realness. There's only going to be one Peter Ely that's like this. I told you all about the other six, you know, my granddad, and then his granddad was named Peter, and I think his granddad was named Peter. You see what I'm saying? But they ain't going to be Peter Ely of 2020. You see what I'm saying? There are things that I bring to this world that when I leave, there will be no more. The mold, as we used to say, the mold was broke. The mold is broke with you. And that's why you have to be intent. You have to be intense with the authenticity that God has given you. Because what, there's some time that he has you to do it. There's a place he has you to do it. There's circumstances he has you to do it. And there are people who are going to be touched and whose lives are changed because you did it. Not anybody else. You did. What if T.D. Jakes decides that he won't go into Dallas and he was going to stay in West Virginia? We don't know the Potter's house that we know now. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, these are just many small examples, but there's something God has called you to do. I ask that you do it. Number three, humble yourselves. Know that what I have is not about me, but it's about to serve someone else. And in me serving somebody else, God will make me great. If you notice, what was Nehemiah doing? Nehemiah was serving a foreign king as the cupbearer. And then what does he do? He leaves that place of service to go to another place of service in that he goes back home to be a governor to his people to what? To rebuild the city and now rebuild the wall and to build back up the people and build up their confidence and protect them and love on them and help them. All those who were exiled because of Nebuchadnezzar had come in and taken the thing over. No, I don't think it was not Nebuchadnezzar. I think it was Nero. Don't get me. I think it's Nero. And if I said that earlier, please forgive me. So here on today, number one, be authentic, intensity wise. Number two, know that what you have, the job you called to do, it's only your job. And if you decide not to do it, there's something else we're missing. So I need you to do your job. Just like I'm doing mine, I need you to do yours. And then number three, humble yourself under his hand, because we are all servants in this space. We're all here to serve him. God bless you all. Hey, I love you. I'm done. I don't have anything else to say. I'm not going to belabor the point. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. If you desire to be saved, I believe that, you know, if you desire to be saved, we believe that God will come in right now and he can save you. He can fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is important. The Holy Ghost is essential to salvation in that way. It's that comfort. It's that thing that knows its way back to him. And then you will be baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus for the remission of your sin. That's your outward confirmation to everybody else that you've graduated. It's outward confirmation to everybody else that you've graduated and that you're going to the next level. And then, you know, then what? Find a good Bible-believing church. Come see us in Safe House. If you're in the Greensboro area, www.safehousechurchgso.com at 3113 Cedar Park Road in the beautiful city of Greensboro. And if not, find a Bible-believing church somewhere that believe in the beautiful name of Jesus. God bless you all. Love you all on this day. At this time, we're going to transition over to our offertory part of our service. As I said, if God has blessed you on today, if this word has blessed you in any way, that, you know, I told you all we got some new equipment and things like that, and we're helping people in all different places. I ask that you all be a help and help us to be a help and help us to help some people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we're putting our giving page up right now that you'll be able to give if you want. I'll leave that up for a second or two. I'll give you a little music if you will. Amen. For God has just been so good to us, you know, this morning. And I'm just so grateful to him. And we'll give you a chance to give of your tithes and your offering. Those who are members of the Safe House, please remember that. Be a little marching music here. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that you had the opportunity to give at that particular point in time. I'm just so grateful to God for allowing us to be here in this space with you today. And I'm just so grateful. I ask that you all share this message. Go to go join our Periscope page. That's at Finding Fish on Periscope. Also, that you ask that you follow us, go ahead and hit the alert button on Facebook to let us know. That'll let you know when we are on here on Facebook Live. On YouTube, go ahead and follow our page, subscribe to our page. And we're just so grateful to God and helping us in this particular space. And I'm just grateful to you that you could have been anywhere else today, but you decided to hang out here with us here at the Safe House Church of Greensboro. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that you have a tremendous, tremendous week. And we're going to be signing off here soon. So you all take care. I love you all. Have a great day. And have a great and fantastic week.
Thank you.